Isn't life beautiful? Isn't life gay? Isn't life the perfect thing to pass the time away?
This is a giant leap forward to a day where we are no longer branded as criminals.
This is social engineering by a court. It will have very bad effects on the idea of our Republican form of government.
We are free today!
You know, if I get lucky this afternoon, it will be the first time in my life I have been intimate without violating a law in the state of Texas.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. UK marriage equality gets the Lord's blessing. Evangelical American Lutherans choose a gay indigenous bishop. And Lawrence v. Texas puts the present in perspective. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
And I'm Charlie Barr.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 8, 2013. Following 2 days of often dramatic debate, Britain's House of Lords voted its approval on June 4th of the government's marriage same-sex couples bill by an unexpectedly lopsided tally of 390 to 148. As the New York Times noted, the House of Lords stands as one of the great bastions of tradition here, a Baroque link to a distant, noble-centric past of pomp and pageantry. Its members serve for life. Their average age is 69. So it was startling to hear some of the speeches in the chamber this week. Baroness Liz Barker came out by acknowledging her longtime partner. Many years ago, she said, I had the great good fortune to meet someone. She and I have loved each other ever since. Another peer mentioned his lesbian daughter. And Baron Guy von Black said of his partner of nearly 25 years, I love him very much, and nothing would give me greater pride than to marry him.
Most observers believe this week's overwhelming approval in its second reading in Britain's House of Lords all but assures ultimate passage of the marriage same-sex couples bill. Following procedures similar to those in the House of Commons, which gave its final approval to the measure in May, the legislation now goes to a Lords committee for review before it returns to the full chamber for a third and final vote. The formal royal assent of the Queen would then make marriage equality the law of the land in England and Wales.
The Church of England formally abandoned its efforts to defeat the bill this week and announced that it would instead work with the Lords to improve it. The new Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, voted against the bill, claiming that it weakens what exists and replaces it with a less good option that is neither equal nor effective. But he also expressed sadness and sorrow for the considerable failure of the church to serve the LGBT communities the way it should.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has named its first openly gay bishop. The Reverend Dr. R. Guy Irwin is also its first Native American bishop. He was elected on May 31st as bishop of the church's Southwest California Synod, which covers the greater Los Angeles area. Bishop Irwin will serve a 6-year term after his formal installation on September 21st. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America approved the ordination of ministers in committed same-gender relationships in 2009. Irwin has been in his with Rob Flynn considerably longer than that. Reverend Irwin is currently interim pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Canoga Park, California, and is a professor of religion and history at California Lutheran University. A native of Oklahoma, he is an active member of the Osage tribe. It's unlikely that Irwin's election as bishop will result in any serious internal conflict. More than 600 congregations left the church after the 2009 ordination decision. Evangelical Lutheranism is still the largest Lutheran denomination in the United States, with over 4 million members, and the 7th largest religious denomination in the country. Gene Robinson of New Hampshire retired earlier this year as the first partnered openly gay bishop of the 2-million-member Episcopal Church.
Declaring that there were no objective reasons for unequal treatment, Germany's Federal Constitutional Court ruled this week that tax laws that treat same-gender couples unequally are unconstitutional. The nation's highest court said that a lesbian or gay couple in a civil union, their country's less than equal form of legal recognition, could be taxed as a couple rather than as individuals. The justices made their order retroactive to August 2001. Under current law, as explained by Deutsche Presse Agentur, heterosexual couples may choose to pay taxes on their respective incomes. However, the tax bracket increases substantially for high-income earners. Couples with a gap between their respective incomes pay more money in taxes as individuals. The tax laws allow them to file taxes jointly, thereby splitting the tax burden equally.
In other news, video surfaced this week of a historic procession in Changsha, a city in central China's Henan province. The unsanctioned LGBT rights march was held on May 17th, the International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, commonly known as Idaho. Organizers called it the largest ever LGBT event in China. 80 people from cities across the country marched along the Changsha riverbank chanting "No more fear" and "Support LGBT, fight discrimination." The demonstration reportedly enjoyed local print and broadcast news coverage. 19-year-old organizer Shang Xiaohan was arrested and detained for 12 days following the unauthorized march. A lawyer hired by LGBT community activists was unable to secure his release before then. But a defiant Shang said that next time they might detain me for 15 days. If that's what it takes to hold another event, then that's fine with me.
More than 1 million people celebrated in Sao Paulo, Brazil's and South America's largest city, on June 2nd at what's billed as the world's largest LGBT pride parade. Crowds have mushroomed since the first march there in 1997. Military police stopped releasing official crowd figures 6 years ago. The headcount then was 2.5 million, and estimates since have been as high as 4 million. Organizers blamed unusually cold weather and heavy rain on the lower turnout this year. Undaunted participants marched under a massive rainbow flag and carried banners with slogans like, "Never going back in the closet." A celebrity-packed show that reportedly ran for more than 6 hours capped off the festivities. Brazil is a country of contradictions. A ruling by its highest court last month essentially opened civil marriage to same-gender couples. But anti-LGBT violence is almost a routine occurrence in the country. And the current head of the Congressional Human Rights Commission, Marco Feliciano, is an unapologetically anti-LGBT evangelical Christian pastor. But Brazil's Minister of Culture, Marta Suplicy, who attended the Sao Paulo march, told participants that, "We must make a change in the Constitution so that we are all citizens with the same rights."
Tens of thousands lined 6 blocks of downtown Salt Lake City, Utah, home of the Mormon Church, at its annual Pride Parade on June 2nd. The event was highlighted again by the participation of Mormons Building Bridges, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints, the long-form name of the Mormons, marching in support of the LGBT community. The initial participation of the group of about 300 people last year was probably the most warmly applauded along the parade route. Erica Munson, one of the organizers, told reporters that about 100 more people marched this year because of that positive response. Samba dancers, high school bands, men in speedos, and drag queens were among some 60 other colorful contingents. Despite a reported ban on doing so by the leadership of the Great Salt Lake Council of the Boy Scouts of America, several marchers wore Cub Scout and Boy Scout uniforms.
Gay newlyweds Vincent Auton and Bruno Boileau, who became France's first legally married same-gender couple on May 29th, honeymooned in Tel Aviv this week just in time for the seaside city's 15th annual LGBT Pride Parade. Initial estimates placed the record-breaking crowd on June 7th at more than 100,000. Several thousand gathered at a makeshift symbolic same-gender wedding before the march. A number of local and federal government officials participated and spoke to the crowd. A few were heckled for their failure to support civil marriage equality. A post-parade beach party featured performances by local pop stars and Israeli as well as international DJs. Several rally speakers reacted to the news 2 days earlier that there had been arrests arising from the horrific shooting at a Tel Aviv LGBT youth center in 2009. Two were killed and several were hurt as a masked intruder, dressed all in black, sprayed the meeting room with bullets. The lone gunman was reportedly hired as the result of a personal dispute and opened fire indiscriminately after he couldn't find his target. Two other men were arrested and charged with conspiring with him and coming to his aid afterward. A fourth man, described by the local newspaper, Haaretz, as a gay activist but also the possible target of the hitman, was arrested for withholding important information about that from police. Tel Aviv councilman Yaniv Weissman said at the Pride rally that innocents were murdered and it doesn't matter what the motives were. This was a defining moment in the history of the state and of the community, which remains an open wound, he said. It serves as a reminder to us all of the importance of taking to the streets.
And finally, 59-year-old Mexican soap star Sebastián Legarde is famous for playing villainous Lothario roles, including an award-winning turn in the influential telenovela Quinceañera. He made news this week when he told a Mexican magazine that, "I'm gay and I say this with pride." The actor called his belated coming out a day of relief, stressed the genetic nature of human sexuality, and added about his same gender attraction that if God and my family knows it, then let the world know it. Legarde, who says he's been in a stable relationship with another man for the last 20 years, claims that he was bisexual when he was younger because, he said, it doubled my chances of getting a date on Saturday night.
That's News Wrap for the week ending June 8th, 2013. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and produced by Steve Pride.
News Wrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. I'm Charlie Bauer.
And I'm Michelle Marie Gilkison.
The U.S. Supreme Court is expected to hand down its two marriage equality rulings sometime in June. One involves California's Proposition 8, and the other, the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, or DOMA. It will be exactly 10 years since the High Court's last landmark LGBT rights decision found so-called sodomy laws against private consensual adult gay sex to be unconstitutional. While we anxiously await word on the next landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling, let's celebrate the 10-year anniversary of Lawrence v. Texas with a look back at our coverage of that historic day.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending June 28, 2003. The U.S. Supreme Court this week issued what may be its most significant decision ever for gays and lesbians, as it ruled 6-3 to strike down Texas law criminalizing homosexual acts. Four justices joined Justice Anthony Kennedy's majority opinion, strongly endorsing fundamental privacy rights for gays and lesbians and reversing the High Court's own 1986 decision in Bowers v. Hardwick that it supported states' rights to regulate private sexual conduct.
The case brought before the court by the Lambda Legal Defense and Education Fund was that of John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner, who were having sex in Lawrence's apartment in 1998 when police broke in, responding to a phony report of a crazed gunman on the premises. Both men were arrested on the misdemeanor charge of homosexual conduct, spent the night in jail, and were fined $200 after pleading no contest to the charge.
Kennedy wrote for the majority, "This case does not involve minors, persons who might be injured or coerced, those who might not easily refuse consent, or public conduct or prostitution. It does involve two adults who, with full and mutual consent, engaged in sexual practices common to a homosexual lifestyle. Petitioner's right to liberty under the Due Process Clause gives them the full right to engage in private conduct without government intervention."
But Justice Antonin Scalia took the unusual step of reading aloud his main dissenting opinion, which harshly criticized his colleagues on the bench. He declared that the majority, and indeed the legal profession, has taken sides in the culture war and has signed on to the so-called homosexual agenda, by which I mean the agenda promoted by some homosexual activists directed at eliminating the moral opprobrium that has traditionally attached to homosexual conduct. He added, "Let me be clear that I have nothing against homosexuals or any other group promoting their agenda through normal democratic means." but he warned that the decision effectively decrees the end of all morals legislation, including state laws against bigamy, same-sex marriage, adult incest, prostitution, masturbation, adultery, fornication, bestiality, and obscenity, and would therefore create a massive disruption of the current social order.
Scalia's leap from decriminalization to marriage rights could be seen as a call to arms on an issue with far less public support than other areas of gay and lesbian equality. But gay activist attorney Evan Wolfson, who argued the Boy Scouts case before the Supreme Court and now heads the Freedom to Marry group, told the Houston Chronicle, "I hate to agree with Justice Scalia, but when he's right, he's right."
It's hard to believe in a land like this. The freedom we think we have does not exist. Don't ask me why the cops and the feds care in the least what we do in our beds. Cause only an asshole would care what goes into our assholes and who puts it there. And only a person who's really repressed would attempt to decide for the rest.
This is a giant leap forward to a day where we are no longer branded as criminals.
It took 33 years and 351 days after the Stonewall riots, but the U.S. Supreme Court finally decided that queer Americans are not outlaws in their own country because of who or how they love. Lambda Legal Director Ruth Harlow was lead attorney in the case.
What the court did was rule that we have a right under the Liberty Clause of the Due Process Clause. The actual language in the Constitution is liberty and not privacy, but what they are protecting is our right to privacy, to make these choices in each one of our bedrooms. It makes a very strong statement, both that gay people are entitled to the same respect and protection under the Constitution as our other Americans. And it also does away with the idea that states can defend discrimination by simply pointing to morality.
And what about a backlash by the religious right and others who oppose this ruling?
Well, I think they are more and more being pushed to the sidelines. The most recent numbers I've seen are 82% of Americans thought that this kind of law should be struck down. So what the court has done is catch up with America in that respect. And, you know, we don't have any problem with individuals making their own choices and having their own religious views, but in our country, a minority of individuals cannot dictate those views for the whole country.
This Way Out correspondent David Taffet was with the sodomites and their supporters in Dallas, Texas.
Roger Waddell is president of the Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance. How did the law being on the books affect gays and lesbians here in Texas?
Well, in employment, for example, a question says, have you ever committed a crime? Not whether you've been convicted of a crime. If you're gay or lesbian and you have had sexual encounters with a person of the same gender, if you say no to get hired, they can fire you for lying. If you say yes, they cannot hire you. So it has been used as a bludgeon against gay men and lesbians for years. And I have to say, while I don't want to give them a whole lot of credence, there is an immediate effect for the opposition. They will be incredibly energized by this. Our journey isn't over.
Peter Sprague of the Family Research Council.
Nothing has changed since 1986 to justify overturning the decision in Bowers v. Hardwick, except for the shifting winds of cultural fashion.
Robert Knight of the Culture and Family Institute.
You know, in this case, Anthony Kennedy, who wrote the opinion, gave lip service to 5,000 years of Judeo-Christian history, its presence in the law, its formative aspects. This is social engineering by a court. It will have very bad effects on the idea of our Republican form of government.
Reverend Rob Schenck of the National Clergy Council.
This is a lamentable outcome. The court has said today that morality, matters of right and wrong behavior, do not matter in the law.
Reverend Jerry Falwell.
Symbolically, America is a nation that for 200 years, and the culture of the world today for 2,000 years, since Christ's death, burial, resurrection, has respected the marriage system, the nuclear traditional family, the husband-wife relationship. And Judge Scalia said what most of us fear, that this is going to lead to the legalization of same-sex marriage. And I think that is an abomination.
I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.
We are free today!
In the city's historic Castro District, the giant rainbow flag that normally flies so majestically over the city was replaced by the stars and stripes of the American flag as a symbolic thank you to the Supreme Court. In the sweltering heat, a crowd of a few hundred people gathered to celebrate at Castro and Market Streets in front of a sign that read, "Keep your laws off our bodies." Kate Kendall is the executive director of the National Center for Lesbian Rights.
We will no longer be ashamed. We don't have to be ashamed. And the Supreme Court says today that we matter and we're valuable. That is something we should celebrate. It will require extreme vigilance to assure that we protect this victory. But you're all here. You're going to make it continue to happen. Thank you for everything you've done to celebrate today. Thank you.
Jennifer Pizer with Lambda Legal, which brought the case before the Supreme Court, said it's time to celebrate, but not forget that many battles lie ahead.
We have to redouble our efforts because all of the work has brought us to this place. We have the right to love, but we face discrimination, we face violence, our families are unequal, our families are not protected. Justice Scalia's dissent today was a rallying cry for people who believe we should have no rights. It's going to take every one of us recommitting our efforts to make sure that our families get the protection that we deserve.
An activist from Amnesty International told the crowd that we should not forget our queer brothers and sisters outside of the U.S. in countries like Egypt, Saudi Arabia, India, and Malaysia, where gay sex is still illegal. Openly gay San Francisco supervisor Tom Amiano said we should also remember legendary activists like Harvey Milk, America's first openly gay elected official who was assassinated in San Francisco in 1978.
We don't go away. We'll never go away. Harvey Milk, I'm sorry you're not here, but we took your message. You gotta give them hope. We got hope. Thank you.
For This Way Out, I'm Brian Goble in San Francisco.
This is J.D. Doyle in Houston, the community where it all began back in 1998 when John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner were arrested for sodomy in Lawrence's bedroom.
Sort of Gestapo, but that's all I have to say.
I feel like my civil rights was violated and I wasn't doing anything wrong.
They turned for help to attorney Mitchell Kateen, who spoke at a local press conference on the day of the ruling.
It has been my honor and pleasure to be the local attorney and cooperating attorney with Lambda Legal Defense on behalf of John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner. Today is a historic day for everyone who believes in the privacy of the home, the privacy of the family. And I am so pleased that John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner, who were defendants, are now acquitted and that this crime that was on their record is no longer there.
Defendant John Lawrence read a prepared statement on behalf of himself and Tyrone Garner.
I'm not a public speaker. We are very pleased with this ruling. We never chose to be public figures or to take on this fight, but we also never thought we could be arrested this way. We're glad not only that this ruling lets us get on with our lives, but that it opens the door for gay people all across the country to be treated equally. We're grateful to everyone who has respected our privacy over the last few years, even if the state of Texas did not respect it that night in 1998. And we thank everyone who saw how important this case was and fought for us. We share this victory with gay people in all 50 states who are better off today than they were yesterday thanks to this ruling.
Later, at the rally held at City Hall, Mitchell Kateen introduced a variety of speakers and opened the celebration.
Today, the United States Supreme Court acquitted John Lawrence and Tyrone Garner of a law that criminalized gay and lesbian people. And today, as this sign says, being gay is not a crime.
One of the speakers was the father of Houston's gay rights movement, longtime activist Ray Hill, who has been involved in many fights to defeat the Texas sodomy statute 2106.
We've been looking for that direct criminal appeal
on a 2106 arrest for a long, long time. And it was difficult to find because there have only been five prosecutions in Harris County of 2106. Now you said, well, if they're not prosecuting, why get rid of it? Because every time you went to apply for a job, somebody thought you're a criminal when you go home and you can't have the job. And every time that you wanted to be a police officer, they said, no, this lesbian violates Texas law when she goes home at night and she can't be a police officer. So we went through that on adoptions. We went through that with custody. We went through that in probate court, and we went through that employment. So 2106 was enforced every day, but not as a criminal statute. I'm an old man. I'm 62 years old. But you know, if I get lucky this afternoon, it will be the first time in my life I have been intimate without violating a law in the state of Texas.
That was longtime gay activist Ray Hill. And for This Way Out in Houston, I'm J.D. Doyle.
So we're legal in all 50 states now. We can get married in Ontario and maybe very soon in Massachusetts as well. Being an outcast, an outsider, a banned minority, that was certainly fun in its own way, and I will, in some sense, miss it. But the raging river of gay progress is approaching the point where it empties into the ocean, and we become just one more ordinary segment of the American melting pot. That's what we wanted, right? For This Way Out in San Diego, I'm Rex Walkner.
Only an asshole would care. Our assholes and who puts it there, and only a person who's really repressed would attempt to decide, but we can turn back the tide by refusing to hide when they attempt to decide for the rest.
That was the way it was in June 2003 when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Texas state sodomy law, and by extension, all U.S. state sodomy laws. Lawrence v. Texas plaintiff Tyrone Garner died in 2006 from complications of meningitis, and co-plaintiff John Lawrence died in 2011 of a heart ailment. This Way Out news anchor Cindy Friedman died in 2010 of cancer. A longer version of This Way Out's original coverage of that landmark U.S. Supreme Court ruling is part of our special Biggest Queer News Stories of 2003 CD. It's one of the several supporter thank you gifts you can get at thiswayout.org. Thanks for tuning into This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Michelle Marie Gilkison and Charlie Bauer contributed program material. Thanks also to Steve Pride. Romanofsky and Phillips performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out is made possible by grants from the Yavanna Foundation and the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, a bequest from the estate of Christopher David Trentum, and by our listener supporters. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org for podcasts, CDs, news wrap, and a lot more, including links to our blog and our Facebook page. Follow TWO Radio on Twitter, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038 USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening online at thiswayout.org and on 3OCR Colac Victoria, CFUV Victoria, British Columbia, WFCS New Britain, Connecticut, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. That's all. Stay tuned.